Okay, so let's begin Perek Vav, Sefer Yehoshua. So we ended off last Perek, that the, if you remember at the very end of Perek Hey, so the Malach comes to Yehoshua, and the Malach tells him, the Malach doesn't tell him anything just yet, but the Yehoshua asks the Malach, you know, what are you doing here? Halanu atim litzareinu, so we gave a couple of interpretations last week as to what exactly that means. And Yehoshua and the Malach responds, Atabasi, that I came based on now. So last week we shared a couple of interpretations of the Rishonim, of the Mefarshim here in Sefer Yehoshua. We mentioned very briefly, but I'll just mention it again because we didn't really delve into it too much last week. But the Gemara has an interesting interpretation, which, if you remember, we actually discussed this, way back when, towards the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua, where this incident was referenced. But the Gemara says that that two things happened when Bnei Yisrael were preparing for war with Yericho. Number one, they could not bring the Korban Tamid. They couldn't bring the daily Korban, the daily sacrifice, because the Aron was out of the Mishkan. And if the Aron was out of the Mishkan in Gilgal, then they weren't able to bring the Korban. So that was one thing that they did not do. The evening, it was the afternoon Korban, right? You know, the night before the next day. And the other thing they didn't do is they didn't learn. They were preparing for battle, they didn't learn. And the Gemara says that the Malach comes to, you know, this Malach appears to Yehoshua, and Yehoshua says, what's your story? Halanu atayim litzareinu, you know, are you with us or against us? And the Malach responds, Atabasi, that I came because of now, meaning I didn't come because you were Mevatel the Korban Tamid. That I understand. You're mevatel the Korban Tamid. You know, the Aron is not in the Mishkan. There's nothing you can do about it. Okay, so you couldn't bring the Korban Tamid. But Atabasi, I came now because you didn't learn. And the Gemara says, Vayala and Yehoshua ba'emek, that immediately Yehoshua says, you know what, you're right, I made a mistake. And that, right away, at night, he went to learn. He went to Beis Medrash and he went to learn. Now keep in mind, this is the night before they're going to start the whole process of Yericho. We're going to read about the process in the beginning of Perek Vav.
This is a Milchamis Mitzvah, right?
Yes.
If you have a Milchamis Mitzvah, aren't you Pater from all the Mitzvahs?
Good. Okay, so it would seem that if you have a Milchamis Mitzvah, you're Pater from all the Mitzvahs. We'll learn a little bit more about that in Perek Vav as well. But it seems that the Malach, according to what the Gemara is saying, the Malach was pointing out that even if you're Pater, but if you have time, meaning apparently there was some downtime. You know, I mean, listen, sometimes, you know, you have the troops setting up. You know, we've heard from the soldiers several times here. You know, I've heard from the soldiers in school. You know, that they get into their position, and sometimes they wait there for 2 weeks. You know, until the commander says, okay, it's time to go in. You know, they're sitting around. So apparently that's what was happening. You know, they were there at night, and they were getting ready, but they were kind of sitting around. They had the time, and the Malach says, Yehoshua, you know, you got to learn. If you're sitting around, you know, you got to learn. You got to take out your sefer, you know, from your pocket, and you have to learn. So it's an amazing thing, you know, the Musar Haskell here, that even Yehoshua, right, who's preparing for battle, he's the general, he's the leader of the Jewish people, who's preparing for battle, and the Malach is coming to him and telling, you know, don't forget about Limud HaTorah. You know, don't forget, you have to learn. It's more, as important as you are, as much as you're doing, you know, it's important to always make time. You know, as great as a person you are, and as important as the things that you're doing, it's always important to make time. I think I mentioned that, Rav Moshe, one day he got up earlier than usual. He got up at like 4 o'clock in the morning, and his family, you know, was wondering. His wife asked him, you know, why are you getting up so early? So he said, because I know I have a very busy day. I have he had a levaya or something. He had a very busy day. I'm not going to have a chance to learn. So he said, I have to get up early to learn. Rav Moshe Feinstein, you know, you could have said, hey, he's important. He's involved in important things. I think I mentioned this also. Rabbi Heinemann from Baltimore, you know, the head of the Star K. So he gets up every morning, he learns from about, I think, 5:30 to 8:30, he learns every single morning in the Aguda, right? He's a busy man, he's got he's running one of the world's most famous kashrus agencies. People are calling him with shaylos all the time, so he's got to find time to learn. So when does he find time to learn? In the morning, no one's going to bother him, 5:30 in the morning. So you got to get up early, you know, we have to make time. You know, today, I would say today there's no excuse. You know, today you could be on the train, you could be in the... You know, you could be in your car. You have your phone. You have no excuse not to learn. You know, you have access to all of the apps, and you have and all of the websites, and all the things that you can download onto your phone. You know, there's Mishnayos on your phone, and there's everything on your phone. Almost call it Torah Kula. you know, is on your phone. V'lechtecha v'aderech, you know, these amazing apps where you can learn in print, you can learn audio, you know, you can learn everything. English, you know, Hebrew, French, whatever language you want. So it's almost like there's no excuse today not to learn. Baruch Hashem, you know, you hear about so many people as they're traveling to work, and you see all these people with the earbuds in. You know, there's so many things that people can do. So if Yehoshua was taken to task the night before, you know, approaching the battle with Jericho for not finding time to learn, you know, we also need to find time to learn. You know, when we're going to work, when we're at work, if we have some downtime, important to find time to learn. Okay, let's begin now Perek Vav. So comes the Navi in Perek Vav and tells us, Yericho sogeres umesugeres. The Yericho was a closed up city, mipnei b'nei Yisrael, ein yotze ve'ein ba. No one was coming, no one was going. You know, interesting language, sogeres umesugeres. Like a, you know, almost like a double language. So the Radak says that, you know, it could mean that it was very, very closed. It was a really tightly closed city, a locked up city. You know, or he says maybe that sogeres umesugeres means that it was locked, number one. And number two, they wouldn't even allow anybody in or out. Meaning sometimes, yeah, the door is locked, but they'll open it up if someone needs to get in or someone needs to get out. Here, the door was locked and they didn't let anybody in or out. So that's what the Radak suggests. The Alshich points out that it says here, if you read it carefully, it says sogeres umesugeres mipnei b'nei Yisrael. That it was closed because of b'nei Yisrael. So he suggests that maybe the idea is that because of Bnei Yisrael alone, they wouldn't be successful to capture this city. Meaning that Bnei Yisrael didn't have the merits on their own to just go ahead and capture the city. They needed Yehoshua. They needed their leader. They needed Yehoshua. And as we've seen throughout the story, that it's really the schus of Yehoshua, the schus of the Aron, right? As we saw that they were able to get through the Yarden. Bnei Yisrael alone are not quite on the Madrega for all of these Nisim. The Nisim are coming because of their great leader, because of Yehoshua, because of the Aron. The Mitzvah HaSnavet says that Yericho actually got wind of the fact that Bnei Yisrael were coming. He says that's the Sogeres and Misugeres. Meaning normally the city was locked, you know, that they had, you know, they would lock the gate at night or whatever. But they heard Bnei Yisrael were coming. So they, you know, they didn't let anybody in or out. Well, you know, once they heard Bnei Yisrael were coming, they got nervous. They said, okay, you know, even though we're normally, we lock the doors, but now we're not even going to let anybody in or out. We don't want anybody to know, you know, what's coming and what's going. We don't want anybody to know, you know, how. We don't want Bnei Yisrael to figure out how to get into the city. So we're just going to seal the gates and that's it. So Yericho was a very tightly locked, tightly locked city. Okay, Pasuk Beis Vayomer Hashem al Yehoshua Re'ei Nasati V'Yodcha Es Yericho Ve'Es Malka Giborei Hechayil. So Hashem comes to Yehoshua and he says, "Listen, Yehoshua, don't worry. I'm giving you the city of Yericho. You're going to defeat the city of Yericho. You're going to defeat the city of Yericho. You're going to defeat its king. You're going to defeat its warriors, its soldiers." You know, it's interesting here. Is Hashem talking to Yehoshua face to face? So we know that nobody, right, the only Navi that spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu face to face was Moshe Rabbeinu. So here when it says Vayomer Hashem, so most of the Mefarshim understand, you know, the Radak says it explicitly, that this was still the Malach talking. Right, this was still the Malach talking, but why does it say Vayomer Hashem? Because the Malach is communicating Hashem's words. So he's communicating Hashem's words to Yehoshua, and he tells him, "Don't worry, I'm going to give you the city." And it says, "Malka v'es giborei hachayil," meaning Yericho was a strong city. You know, they had watch, they had guards, they had an army. You know, they were a strong city. It wasn't like this was going to be an easy fight because it was a bunch of weaklings or it was a shvach city. You know, some sort of industrial city where they didn't know how to fight. They had Giborei Achayil, right? They had people who knew what they were doing. They had people who knew how to fight. But the Kseza Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't make a difference. You're still going to defeat them. You're still going to defeat the king. You're still going to defeat the Giborei Achayil. Why? As the Malbim explains, because this is not Api Derech HaTeva. Right? This battle is not going to be Derech HaTeva. This is not going to be a natural battle. That's what he's telling him. You know, it's a strong city. But you're going to win anyway. Because it's going to be a miraculous battle. I have your back, right? Just like we got into Eretz Yisrael in a miraculous way. The Yarden stopped. So to this first battle, Yericho, it's going to be a miraculous battle. It's going to fall in a miraculous way.
Yericho is a city, basically, correct?
Yes.
So the soldiers from Bnei Yisrael were everybody from 20 to 60, correct?
Yeah.
So I'm looking. So there were 600,000 soldiers or something. I don't care how big Yericho was. It could have been like a book or something like that. So what they have, with the walled city, it could right. be more than... Even if it's a mile long, so how many people can you have in it? How many soldiers can you have in it?
Right, you're saying...
My gut feeling is that Bnei Yisrael is And they got an army of 5,000 and got 600,000 people.
They could defeat them anyway. We're going to see in a little bit that the truth is the B'nai Yisrael really didn't do too much fighting here. That it was mostly the B'nai Gad. Remember the 2.5 tribes, the B'nai Ruvain, B'nai Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe, right? Half of Menashe, who were the ones who were going to settle on the Ever HaYarden, on the eastern side of the Jordan. So we know that they were the ones who were leading the battle. So as we're going to see, it's really them. I mean, there's not going to be too much fighting here anyway, you know, as we'll see. But it's really them who are leading the way. It's clear that it's not really all of B'nai Yisrael doing the fighting. But you're right. If everybody was fighting, then it would be, you know, seemingly it would be a very large force.
Why the word re'eh in the pasuk? I mean,
Nasati. Why re'eh?
Why give it that extra?
Right. I don't know. It's a good question. I'm not sure. Right.
It's a purpose.
Yeah, I don't know. Re'eh nasati biyotcha esiricho. You find that language sometimes in Tanakh. We find it in the Torah, like Re'ei Nasati Lifneichem Es Haaretz, Bo Rishu. We have that language. I'm not sure. Okay. So what should you do? So comes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tells Yehoshua, you're going to defeat them. Let's read Pasuk Gimel. V'sabosem Es Ha'ir Kol Anshei HaMilchama. So he says, I want all of the soldiers to encircle the city. Right? Almost like it's not really a siege. I want you to walk around the city. Right? Walk around the city. Hakefes ha'ir pam echas. I want you to walk around the city one time. Kosas ha'sheshes yamim. I want you to do this for 6 days. Right? For 6 days, I want you to walk around the city one time each day. You know, what's going on? A very strange, that very strange thing. Well, what's happening here? So, most of the Mepharshim say that, the Radak says that this was really to show people. You know, imagine, like, the spies are looking out, and they see, like, you know, what's happening here? These Jews are, like, walking around, you know, they're walking around the city, what's going on? So says the Radak, this was really meant to advertise to the people that, you know, this is not going to be a conventional warfare here. Right? This is not going to be a normal battle. This is a miraculous battle. Now, we're doing this in a miraculous way. It's a miraculous battle, and this was, like, really to advertise that point. It's interesting. Many of the Mepharshim point out here already, and then we'll talk about it a little bit later. The number 7, right? The significance of the number 7, specifically in this perek. We're starting off right now that this is going to carry on for 7 days, right? Today's day 1, and for 6 more days, the pasuk says, "I want you to do this." So we have 7 days. Okay, on each day you're doing one encircling of the city. Okay, 1 hakafa, it's going to be 7 hakafos at the end. Right, at the end, it's going to be 7 hakafos over 7 days. Okay, we'll see that there's more sevens. I mean, the Mepharshim say, you know, we have to think about the centrality of this number 7. Right, the Rabag also points out here the Radak points out that 7 is a very holy number in Judaism. Right, Shabbos is the 7th day of the week. Okay, we'll see that that's significant in a couple of minutes. Also, we know the 7th year of the cycle is Shemitah, right? That's a very holy year. 7 times 7 in the Shemitah cycle is Yovel, right? The 49th year, or 50th year, right, is Yovel, after 7 times 7. We find also the 7th month, depending on how you count it, it's either Nisan or Tishrei, right? Depending on how you count the months, so it's also a very holy month. Both of those months are holy months. And, right, Sfira also, right, 7 weeks. And we find also that the Yomim Tovim, right, have how many days in Eretz Yisrael? 7. Right, Sukkot is 7 days, and then Shmini Atzeres, which is its own Yontiv, Chag Bifnei Atzmo, and then Pesach has 7 days in Eretz Yisrael, and Chutz Laretz, we have the added day. But the Yomim Tovim themselves are 7 days. So we find that 7 is a very holy number in Judaism, and it's going to play a very central role, the number 7, very central role in this parak, and we'll talk a little bit more about that.
Like the world in general, it was like with Noah, was 7 pairs of
of animals.
Kosher, holy, tahor, and
right,
kosher animals.
Right,
you know?
Right, 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 exactly.
How is it possible they're going to go around 7 times,
yeah.
seven days,
mm-hmm.
And they're carrying the aron with them, I think?
Yes, yeah, we're going to read that.
So, and they're outside the city.
Right.
Not even inside the walls of the city.
Correct.
That Mahal Shabbos?
You're saying on the 7th day?
Yeah, I mean, one of the seven things. Well,
okay.
I don't know what day you started.
Okay, good, good, good. So we'll get there. We'll get there. We'll get there.
They don't carry the Urim. The Urim
we'll get there.
On its own. No, I mean,
well, the Kohanim. We'll see. We'll see. Seven, we'll see. Seven. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. Right. Right, exactly. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. Okay. Good. 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 You're thinking. Okay. Let's see. Pasuk Dalet. Here we go. Okay. The sevens continue. Right. The sevens continue here. V'shiva kohanim yisu shiva shofaros. Shofaros hayovlim, I'm sorry. Lifnei ha'arot. So we have seven kohanim, each carrying a shofar, for a total of seven shofaros. Right? Shofar hayovlim. Yovlim, the Mepharshim say, refers to ayalim, right, or the rams. So these are ram horns. Lifnei ha'aron. So we have the kohanim traveling, in front of the aron. And then Uvayom Hashvi Tasobo Esayir Sheva Pe'amim. On the seventh day, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, still talking, he's still giving instructions to Yoshua, on the seventh day I want you to circle the city seven times. Okay? So on the seventh day I want you to circle the city seven times. The Kohanim Yisku Bashofaros and the Kohanim are blowing the shofaros. That's very interesting. The Malbim points out, so if you think about the order, and we'll see more about the order in a little bit. So what's happening here? So he says that the soldiers are walking first. Okay, right now we don't know who the soldiers are. We'll learn about it in a moment. But the soldiers are walking first. He says, following the soldiers, you have the Kohanim with the shofaros. Okay, they're blowing the shofaros, and then you have the Aron in the back. Okay, now right here he says, what word is being used for blowing the shofar? Yisku bashofaros. So says the Malbim, that we know that there's really two types of sound that, at least that are identified in the Torah, that they blew from these shofaros. A trua and a tkia. Right? The concept of a shvarim, like we do on Rosh Hashanah, you don't really find that in the Torah. But you find a trua and a tkia, right? Heiriu and the taku, heiriu, etc. So here, what language is being used? Yisku. So why Dafka here at Tekiah? So the Malbim points out that if you look, he says, if you look in the Torah tells us that that at a time of Simcha, like the Yom Tovim, they would blow the Chatzotzros and things like that. How would they blow? They would blow a Tekiah. They would blow a Tekiah. When would they blow the Trua? When there was a time of distress. If there was a Melchama, if there was a war, if there was a battle, if it was a time of distress, they would blow a Trua. So the Malbim says, very interesting, because here we're about to engage in capturing a city, right? And yet, what does it say? Yisku bashofaros. So why are they blowing a tekiah? Right? If it's a time of distress, it's a battle, why are they blowing a tekiah? Why? So says the Malbim, because this is not going to be much of a battle. Right? They're going to win. Right? They're just going to go in and they're going to just capture the city. It's not going to be really a battle. This is not an Eis Tzara. This is not a time of distress. This is a time of Simcha. It's the time of Simcha that they're going to win this battle. They're going to capture Yericho, and therefore, boom! You got a Yisku. You have to blow a tkiah, not a trua. Let's continue with pasuk hey. V'haya b'mshoch bekeren hayovel kishamachem es kol ha'shofar yariu kol ha'am terua gedola. So says the pasuk, as the mafarshim explained, that as the shofar blast is continuing, right, elongating. So Rashi explains that the final tkiah, the person, the kohanim who were blowing the shofaros here, would blow like a long tkiah. They would extend the tkiah, and as they're extending their tkiah, then as the pasuk says, kol ha'am yariu kol ha'am teruah gedola, right? The entire nation will then begin to blow their own shofaros, and they'll blow a teruah gedola. Okay, and it's going to be the tkiah plus the teruah. Right, the tkiah plus the trua, and then what's going to happen? Hakadosh Baruch Hu tells Yehoshua what's happening here. V'nafla chomas ha'ir tachteha ve'alu ha'am ish negdo. He says the wall is just going to fall down. The wall's going to fall down right in its place, and you'll just be able to walk it. Okay, this is what Hakadosh Baruch Hu tells Yehoshua. This is what you should do. Right, so you're going to encircle the city once a day for 6 days. The seventh day, you're going to encircle the city seven times. Okay. Kohanim are blowing their tekiahs. Once you finish the seventh time, the Kohanim extend their tekiah. The nation, everybody else joins in and now blows a teruah. Okay? And then, boom, the walls are going to fall. Okay? Now, it's interesting. First of all, the dynamic of this tekiah and teruah together. right? Because if you if you remember, so what the Malbim just said that the tkiya is this sound of victory, okay? So, but at the same time, it sounds like in order for the walls to fall, you need the sound of the tshuva. The tshuva is like the battle cry, right? So you have the sound of victory, essentially proclaiming to the world, the nations of the world, B'nai Yisrael, that we're going to win this very easily. And then, but then in Lamaisa, in order for the walls to fall, when you're actually going in, then you need a tshuva. So the tshuva joins the tkiya, and then together, the walls are going to fall down miraculously, and B'nai Yisrael is just going to waltz right in. It's interesting, if you remember, way back a couple of prakim ago when we had the story of Rachav. So Rachav, it says, lived in a house by the wall. Okay? Now, we're going to see a little bit more about Rachav. As she's rescued from Yericho. And the Radak points out that if Rachav is rescued, in the psukim we're going to describe that she's rescued from her house, so that makes her house is still standing. Okay, so if her house was basically adjacent to the wall, like attached to the wall, so how come her house is still standing, Radak says. So he says it must be that the entire wall didn't fall down. It must be that the Jews, walked around Yericho. Now, it sounds like they didn't form an entire circle around Yericho. They just walked around. Now, when they got back to the beginning, at some, predestined point, I'm not sure exactly where they started from, where they ended, but when they got back to where they started from, they were facing a section of the walls. The Radak says, maybe only that section fell down. Meaning, it could be that the whole wall didn't fall down. It was just that section that fell down, and then they were able to just walk in to the city. Rachav must have lived on another part of the wall. That's how the Radak understands. He says, otherwise, I don't know why her house is still standing if the wall fell down, because her house was like kind of part of the wall. Yeah?
Could it be that they destroyed the wall that was around the house?
So right, so but it seems that the wall, that the houses were actually built immediately adjacent to each other, and the houses actually formed the walls of the city. Meaning it wasn't an independent wall. The wall was really created by this like ring of houses that was built around the city, and that kind of fortified the city. So that's what it sounds like.
Well, the whole thing was Yotzei Dofen, so why should this?
You're saying just let the whole wall fall. Let the whole wall fall down, except for her one house, except for her house. Yeah, I guess he's going for a more pashut pshat, answer here. But
it sounds like
it could be the other mefarshim are not bothered by this for that reason.
Why save the house at all? It was used,
Well, she was in the house.
So say her, but not save the house.
Yeah. Again, it's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to know exactly why why HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed it this way, but that's what it seems to be. Okay. The Malbim says, keep in mind, we'll see if we get to it tonight, but he says keep in mind that the two sounds are blending, which he says will be important to understand the pasuk a little bit later. Okay, let's see pasuk vav. So now, until now, right? These are psukim gimel, dalid, and hey. Beis Gimel Dalet and Hey. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was talking to Yehoshua through the Malach, right? The Malach is giving him this Nevuah from Hashem. And now, Pasuk Vav, Yehoshua begins his command based on Hashem's commandments, and Yehoshua begins his command to the people. Okay, so Pasuk Vav. Vayikru Yehoshua bin Nun ala Kohanim. So Yehoshua bin Nun calls the Kohanim, Vayomer Aleihem, and he says to them, Se'u es Aron Habris, Veshiva Kohanim Yis'u, Shiva Shofros Yovlim Lifnei Aron Hashem. He says, he tells the Kohanim, I want you to pick up the Aron, okay, carry the Aron, and I want the seven Kohanim, and I want seven Kohanim to carry these Shofros before the Aron. Now, the Alshach points out here, it's interesting that if you look at the last four Psukim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say anything about Kohanim carrying the Aron. Right? Who generally carried the Aron? Leviim. The Leviim generally carried the Aron. The only time the Kohanim we've seen in Sefer Yehoshua carried the Aron was only, if you remember, only when they went into the Yarden. Right? When they went into the Yarden, so then Yehoshua told them, okay, the Kohanim have to carry it into the Yarden, and that's the Yarden's going to stop. Right? But that was when the Kohanim did it. Otherwise, the Leviim did it. So here, how does Yehoshua know that the Kohanim are supposed to carry? The pasuk doesn't say that. You know, Hashem didn't command Yehoshua that the Kohanim should carry. Maybe the Levim should carry. So the Al-Sheikh says that Yehoshua did made a kavah chomer. And Yehoshua is thinking to himself, Hashem just commanded me that the Kohanim should carry the shofros. Right? They should be the ones who are carrying the shofros, blowing the shofros. So he says, if the Kohanim are carrying the shofros, who should carry the Aron? Certainly the Kohanim should carry the Aron. But you're not going to have Kohanim carrying shofros and then the Levim carrying the Aron. If anything, what was the job of the Levim in the Beis HaMikdash? They were the musicians. Right? They were the ones who played all the music. So here, if the Kohanim are the ones who are blowing the shofaros, so he says it must be that this is a job for the Kohanim. Right? So the Aron also is supposed to be carried by the Kohanim, and that's why he commands the Kohanim to do it. And he says that's why they're mentioned one right next to the other. Right? He tells them, Se'uas Aron Abris, and Veshiva Kohanim Yisu Shiva Shofros Yovlim. Why are they mentioned together? Because that's how Yehoshua figured it out. Based on the shofaros, that's how Yehoshua figured out that the Kohanim also should be carrying the Aron.
The Kohanim carried the Aron into the Yarden, right?
Yes.
But they also, if I recall, in Melachim, did they carry it back from the priest?
I don't remember. Could be. I'm not sure.
Remember that battle that they took the Aron back with David?
Yeah, but I don't remember who carried it.
I think it was the Kohanim.
Could be. We have to look. I don't know. We have to look there. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Rabbi, to answer Joel's question before, according to the monologues, that they spoil on Sunday.
Oh, okay, good.
They conquered the city on Shabbos.
Very good. Yeah.
Because Hashem
good.
Allowed them to signify the destruction of Jericho. And
good.
So he made it on
good, Shabbos. Yeah. We'll talk more about that. Very good. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
And a second thing, Rabbi, they did it 13 times.
Six right.
6 days and then seven. Yeah. 13, which is the 13 principles, which uh-huh. also add to Echad. The last word in the Shema.
Uh-huh.
So he wanted them to have that in mind.
Interesting. Okay, good. Very interesting. I like that. Very nice. Okay. So, okay. The Malbim says, he says a little bit differently. He says, how did Yehoshua know that the Kohanim were supposed to carry the Aron? So he says that that generally the Levim carried it. But once the Aron started to work these miracles, right, think about it. They got into Eretz Yisrael by the Aron stopping the Yarden. You know, he realizes, okay, like this is not a job for the Levim anymore. The Levim, you know, the Levim. We love Levim, but the Levim, you know, in the Mishkan, they were more or less the schleppers. You know, they were schlepping the things from one place to the other. The Kohanim were the priests. They were the ones who were really, you know, involved in the avoda. So says Yehoshua, once we see the Aron working these miracles, it's stopping the Yarden. Kadosh Baruch Hu's commanding him to take the Aron and circle Yericho, the walls are going to fall down. Yeshua says, this has got to be for Kohanim. This is not a job for Levim. So, you know, the Malbim says it wasn't like a Kavah Chomer from the Shofaros. He just says it was logical that once these miracles are beginning, this must be a job for the Kohanim. Okay, let's see Pasuk Zayin. Vayomer El Ha'am. It's written Vayomru, but it's read. The Ksiv is Vayomru. The Kri is Vayomer. Vayomer El Ha'am. So he tells the nation, Ivru V'sobu Es Ha'ir. Pass by, and we'll see exactly what this passing is. Pass by and encircle the city. Ve'achalutz yavur lifnei Aron Hashem, and the chalutz is like the pioneers should go in front of the Aron Hashem. So the it's interesting. First of all, what's the vayomru and the vayomer? Why is the ksiv vayomru and the kri is vayomer? So the the Malbim explains that I think it was the Malbim. I'm sorry. No, it was the Al-Sheikh. The Al-Sheikh explains that Yehoshua is now talking to the camp of the Jews, right? He can't convey a message to the entire camp, right? There's no way he can communicate. There's a lot of people here. There's no way he can communicate this to the entire camp. So he had to send out messengers. He had to send out messengers, okay? And he says that essentially the Al-Sheikh has a whole approach here in the coming psukim that the messengers actually botched the message. They botched the mission. What was supposed to happen? So he says, really what was supposed to happen, if you look at the language of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, what did Hashem say? Hashem said, okay, all Hashem said was was to circle the city, right? That's all he said. He didn't say that all of Bnei Yisrael should do it. V'sabosem es ha'ir, I'm sorry, if you look at Pasuk Gimel, what did Hashem say? He was specific. V'sabosem es ha'ir kol anshei ha'milchama. The men of war, the men of battle, Okay, they're the ones who should be encircling the city. What's the message that's given to the nation? Vayomer el ha'am, Ivru v'sobu. You, the whole nation. The whole nation? Hashem didn't say the whole nation. Hashem said, kol ashi ha'milchama. He said, just the soldiers. Who are the soldiers? Says the Ashik, the soldiers are the chalutz. Who's the chalutz? That's Reuven, Gad, and Chatz, Shevet, Menashe. They're the fighters. They're the ones who are leading Bnei Israel into battle. We don't need everybody. Maybe even as Irwin said before, right? We don't need everybody. We need a few thousand men. That's all we need, right? So Reuven, Gad, and Chatz, Shevet, Menashe are supposed to lead the charge here. They're supposed to be the soldiers. The messengers essentially botch this first day, and they tell the whole nation to go and circle. So everybody starts walking, okay? So here, what's supposed to happen? So what's supposed to happen? So what's the Ivru? So the Malbim says that Ivru is that usually what travels in front? Usually, in the Midbar, if they were traveling, the Aron used to go in front. The Aron would go in front and it would like clear the way, you know, miraculously clear the way. So here, Hashem wanted the Aron in the back. Hashem wanted the Aron in the back. So he tells everybody, Ivru. I want the Aron stays still. The Kohanim holding the Aron stays still. The entire nation now passes by the Aron, right? They're behind the Aron. So they have to now pass by the Aron and they go into the front. Okay? Then comes the Chalutz, comes the Reuven Gad and Chatzi Shevet Menashe. They pass by the Aron because they're still behind the Aron and they go in between the Aron and the people. Okay? So originally it was the Aron and then the people. Okay? And then Bnei Gad and then Reuven Gad and Menashe in the back perhaps. And now the order is reversed. Now it's the people, Reuven, Gad, and Menashe, and the Aron. Why the reverse order? Why the reverse order? So again, I'm sorry?
How do you see in the
puzzle
that the people are first?
Vayomer al-Ha'am, Ivru v'sobu, right? They have to go first. Ivru, they have to go first. And then, v'hachalutz yavor lifnei Aron Hashem. Right? So first comes the people, then the chalutz in front of the Aron, and the Aron in the rear. Okay? So why this order? It's a very strange order. First of all, the fighters are in the middle, right? The fighters are the Reuven, Gad, and Menashe. So what are they doing in the middle of the camp? You should put the fighters in the front. So again,
we don't need the fighters.
Exactly. This is reinforcing the message. We don't really need these fighters. So all these guys, you know, it's like the SWAT team with all their big weapons. You know, they're like in the back watching the show. And meanwhile, all the, you know, the citizens, the women and children, and the citizens are like marching in front. You know, leading the battle cry. You know, marching in front. This is not a normal battle, right?
It's,
and Yoshua was in the back with the Aron. In fact, the Al-Sheikh says, it's kind of cute, the Al-Sheikh says that how come Yoshua, if he saw that the people were walking, how come he didn't stop them? Right? He said he should have just run ahead, you know, he should have ran ahead and stopped them and said, hey, you messed up the message. It wasn't supposed to be the whole nation. So Yoshua says, so the Al-Sheikh says that Yoshua was all the way in the back by the Aron. He says, till Yoshua figured out what was going on, he says it was too late. There was no way, he didn't have time to go and run all the way to the front and tell people. He said this was a big camp, right? We're talking about, you know, the hundreds of thousands of people here. He couldn't like run all the way to the front. And plus, he says the Aron started moving, so Yeshua was like, all right, whatever, you know, let's just go. Okay, and that's how people walked.
It was possible it was like an Aset Mishma moment where the people were so enthusiastic.
Exactly. They just jumped into it, right. But again, keep in mind, this is the message is, like here, it's almost like the most chashuv in the back. The Aron's in the back, and then the chalutz is right before them, and then the people. It's, you know, this is not a logical battle. This is not a normal, you know, natural battle. This is a completely miraculous war. Okay, pasuk ches.
So that's how Hamas kept this new thing going to the fence now, right?
To the what?
That's how Hamas got this thing going to the fence.
And... yeah. All right. So pasuk ches vayhi ke'emor Yehoshua el ha'am. So when Yoshua tells the nation that they should go, v'shiva kohanim nosim shiva shofros hayovlim ufnei Hashem. So these seven kohanim were standing, you know, were carrying their shofros lifnei Hashem, meaning before they were standing in front of the Aron. Avru v'saku b'shofaros v'arum b'ris Hashem holecha achareihem. So they were blowing the shofaros. The Aron is traveling after them. The Malbim points out that the kohanim were blowing shofar the whole time. Right, avru v'saku b'shofaros. Like the whole time, they just keep blowing the shofaros as the nation is walking by and everybody's going to the front. Pasuk tes v'hachalutz holech lifnei hakohanim tokei shofaros. Now the chalutz positions themselves again. That's Reuven, Gad, and Menashe. They position themselves in front of the kohanim who are blowing the shofaros. V'ma'asif holech acharei ha'aron Haloch v'takoa b'ashofaros. And the Ma'asef. Who's the Ma'asef? Very interesting. It's like the who's bringing up the rear here. So the all the Mefarshim say was Shevet Dan. Shevet Dan was always they were the ones who brought up the rear. That was their mission, right? And it says Shevet Dan. Actually, it says that they would they were the troop that would any lost objects that were there, they would pick them up. Any people who were kind of schlepping along, they would help them out. So Shevet Dan was trained already in the to bring up the rear. So even in this case, they brought up the rear. They were behind the Aron. Everybody else was in front. And here Shevet Dan was behind the Aron. they were making sure that everything was proceeding smoothly. So here they're going. And by the way, were all the Kohanim by the Aron? Where were the rest of the Kohanim? So here the Malbim points out that it was only the seven Kohanim that were blowing shofar were by the Aron, right? They were in front of the Aron. Seven Kohanim. All the other Kohanim, he says, they were traveling with Shevet Levi. They were up ahead. Right, with all the other Shvatim, they were with Shevet Levi. It was only the seven Kohanim that were blowing the shofaros, they were the ones who were standing. Sorry? Exactly, right. And the Kohanim that were carrying the Aron. Right? Besides for them, all the other Kohanim were in the front with the rest of Shevet Levi. Okay, Pasuk Yud. Ves ha'am tziva Yehoshua le'mor. And now the nation, Yehoshua, commands them, saying, Lo sariyu v'lo sashmiyu es kolchem. So interesting, he says, that I don't want you to blow a truah now. I don't want you to say anything. Velo yetzi mipichem davar ad yom omri aleichem hariyu v'hareyosem. So Yehoshua says, I don't want you guys to make a peep until the day that I tell you, and then you're gonna blow, and then you're gonna blow your shofaros, right? So what's happening here? So first of all, the Malbim says there was all sorts of kolos, right? Because he says it in multiple ways. Lo sariyu velo sashmiu es kolchem velo yetzi mipichem davar. Right. So number one. Lo sariyu, don't let out a trua of simcha. Don't let out a kol of tzaaka. Don't cry out. Don't scream out. Don't yell. Even quietly, don't say anything. Right? Why all the quiet here? So the Rabag says that that the Kohanim were blowing shofar originally, but as they got closer to the city, Hashem wanted them to be quiet. Right? Yehoshua told them to be quiet. Why? Because they don't want the people of Yericho to know that they're right outside. What's going to happen if they know they're right outside? They're going to start. They're going to start throwing rocks over the wall. They're going to start, pouring boiling oil or something. They're going to start doing all these things to terrorize the Jews. So the Rabbah says, so new, farvas, so as well. So what's the problem here? Meaning, the whole thing is miraculous, right? So we can't handle a couple of stones, So they throw a couple of Molotov cocktails over the wall. So what's the big deal? So the Rabbah says, yeah, but you can't rely on Nisim, right? Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu says is going to be an ace, then it's an ace, right? But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't say it's an ace, then there's no reason. Then you should go with the normal strategy. Normal strategy is be quiet and go quietly, and this way they won't know what's going on.
It was a surprise. Do you believe there were no scouts?
I'm sorry. You're saying Yericho didn't know what was going on. Also, I was also thinking it's a lot of people. I mean, even if they're quiet. Right, imagine all these people walking,
Gates already, they know they're coming, so somebody's got to be looking out.
Somebody's got to be watching. Yeah, I hear you, I don't know. I hear you. Okay, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayasev Aron Hashem es ha'ir ha'kev pam echas. So the city, the Aron now, again, keep in mind the Aron's almost in the rear. You have Shevet Dan behind the Aron, but basically the Aron is there. So the Aron makes its way around the city one time. So after that one time, they go back to the camp. Right, that's it. That's it for today's mission. Today's mission is to encircle Yericho once. They encircle Yericho once. The Aron brings up the rear. They're done. Time to go back to camp. And they go back to camp. Where was the camp? Gilgal. Right. The camp was. They went back to Gilgal. Okay. Gilgal and Yericho are a little bit of a ways from each other. They went back to Gilgal, and they camped out for the night. So what day was this? So as Aaron mentioned before, the Mefarshim says, the Radak says explicitly that this was Sunday. Sunday was the first day, which means the seventh day is going to be Shabbos, right? The seventh day. So it's not just that they're being Michal Shabbos, but the whole when the walls are falling down and they're blowing shofar, Hariyu and Taku, and they're going in and they're doing whatever they're doing, actually battling in the city. Once the walls fall down, they're going to go in and they're going to take care of business. That's all happening on Shabbos. It's all happening on Shabbos. So what about Chilul Shabbos? Kadosh Baruch Hu wants it like that, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu wants it that way. So, I was thinking that it's possible that maybe the why all this business on Shabbos? You know, Shabbos and the seven, everything is seven. So we know, and that seven generally represents Teva. Seven generally represents nature. The world was created in 7 days, right? So whenever we have the number seven, it always represents nature. So perhaps here, with everything going on, that's miraculous. The stopping of the Yarden River so that Bnei Yisrael could cross was miraculous. This whole "quote unquote" battle of Yericho is completely miraculous. So it could be a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants, you know, he's implanting within all the people the 777 to show that as much as this is miraculous, it's also nature. Nature is miracle. Miracle is nature. It's all the same. Right? Whatever you see in front of you, that seven, which represents nature, that's all miraculous. The stopping of the Yarden normally travels. That's nature. When you stop it, that's miracle. The Yarden traveling is also miraculous. Right? Perhaps the confluence here between the miracles and the natural, the seven and all the miracles, all enmeshed together, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reminder to everyone that this is happening in a miraculous way, but really everything that happens is a miracle. Everything that happens is HaKadosh Baruch Hu behind it. So here was a little bit more explicit. Here was a little bit more binigle, was a little bit more revealed. Other times it's more hidden, other times it's quieter. But it's all really the same thing. And perhaps that's one of the ideas. Shabbos also, Shabbos is the day that we're supposed to pull back and recognize, our spiritual connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it could be that he's saying that spiritually connecting is important, but if it's time to do battle, that's also a form of spiritual connection. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, sometimes you have to. It's not always the way that it seems. You think, okay, Shabbos, I can't be Mechal Shabbos. But sometimes you have to be Mechal Shabbos, right? A Hatzalah person, the person's on Hatzalah, so you can't be Mechal Shabbos, but if it's to save a life, you have to be Mechal Shabbos. So Kodesh Baruch Hu was teaching them a lesson, maybe even perhaps, this is the first battle as they're coming into Eretz Yisrael. Right? Keep in mind, Eretz Yisrael, this is a land of Teva. It's a land of Nes and a land of Teva. It's a land of Nes, because Eretz Yisrael is the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, but it's also the land of nature, because until now they were in the Midbar, everything was miraculous. Now they have to actually roll up their sleeves and get to work. Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying, listen, you gotta, it's not all about Nisim, it's not all about just living with me in the clouds. Sometimes it's about hard work, sometimes it's about being Mechal Shabbos if you have to. Right? You think now about Chayalei Tzahal, and about people in security forces in Eretz Yisrael. They have to be Mechal Shabbos. They have to be Mechal Shabbos. You have to do what you have to do in order to protect people, in order to save people's lives. So that's perhaps part of the message of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is communicating to them. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. And Mitzvah Hashem will pick up next week with Pasuk Yud Beis.